Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Feds, DEA, ATF, Task Force, Jump Out Boys, and your local neighborhood robbers, baby. I got to keep on pushing.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 44 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Spin. I'm joined by the homeboy Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What they do?
Yes, indeed, man. We rocking out to some Bun B off of the, which one is this? This is off of the Trill album. Bun B pushing with Scarface and Jeezy. Rock out with your boys.
Partner Robert 17 and in the bins. And me, I'm in the bucket, but fuck it, that's how it is. Shit, I got an ounce about to cut it in the stone. Stick stop, port off of Texas, I work it in the loans. I'm a little nigga on this hustle about to rise. I was cutting 17 and I was only paying 5. A week went by and a nigga took that drive back to H-Town with 3 up about to score me 9. A Pyrex bowl in the whoop so cold. I cook for 9, then I stretch it for 9 more. Whoa. I'm that nigga baking with holes in his dough. Crumbing nigga selling them ether, but fucking shit sold.
Hey, no matter how hard it get, you know I'm a real talk, real niggas do real things.
Yes, indeed, y'all. It's been 2 motherfucking weeks since we did a goddamn beer and chicken. And we gotta keep on pushing around this motherfucker because it's been hard times, goddammit. This shit was so apropos, I couldn't find shit to play, man. And then all of a sudden, boom, this shit was right there for your boy. It was like karmic. It's like karmatic energy, nigga. It was just like right there, nigga. Like, yeah, yeah, we gotta keep pushing. And I'm laying it on thick right now. But yeah, man, let me cut that shit off. Oh, shit. The homeboy Walt finally showed up. Hold on, let me pull this nigga in, man. Yo, Walt, so nice of you to motherfucking join us, nigga.
Am I late?
Is that a Cubs t-shirt?
Man, don't disrespect me like that, man.
Is that a Cubs t-shirt?
It don't disrespect me like that, man.
Is that world champions? Is that world champions? Well, I mean, Detroit ain't winning. Oh, I'm just, you know, it's similar color, you know what I'm saying. You get it.
Man, them Bulls at home, that's all I know. Them Bulls at home, no disrespect to Span. I see he rocking the Bulls hat, but you take that shit off.
As
you niggas at home.
As expected.
Nigga, y'all back into the motherfucking playoffs, nigga. Y'all was out here losing the niggas y'all had no business losing to, and y'all will be home soon, my nigga. Very soon.
Hey, y'all, you said you got dinner hot ready for them?
This nigga shit gonna be, they gonna be done so quick, nigga. It's gonna, they hands gonna spin. hey, we got us an extra 4 games. We got us an extra 4 games. Gonna be home just as soon as they everybody else. Y'all bought y'allself a week by winning that last game against the sorry ass Knicks. Come on,
say, man. All they did was prolong their vacation, huh?
Yeah, y'all they did shit, but y'all ain't do nothing but delay the inevitable, my nigga. Y'all gonna be home first round, nigga. But yeah, man, like I was saying before, man, it's been 2 weeks since we did the show. And let me kind of give y'all some background on as to why that is, right? So y'all know we do this show here live on Facebook every Sunday. And we're doing this Sunday afternoon right now because Game of Thrones comes back and your man Span ain't missing motherfucking GOT.
Facts. Not, and if you watch it right now, you in Chicago, look outside. Winter is here.
Winter done came. Nigga, winter done came. Like, nah, bitch, I ain't gone yet.
It's a sign.
It only means
that this show gonna be off the chain.
Yeah, I hope
she left something under your bed.
I hope so. But yo, check it. So, because we do the show live on Facebook, what had happened was your man Span got into a little bit of trouble. I got banned off of Facebook for like 3 days, right? So that was the first reason why we couldn't do a show 2 weeks ago. Your man Span, I didn't have access to my Facebook. I couldn't like shit, couldn't post shit, couldn't comment on shit. I could see y'all shit, couldn't say nothing. So I wasn't able to like kind of post up, you know, anything for the show or whatever. We couldn't go live, couldn't do none of that, right? The second thing that happened, and this is the thing that's been like kicking my ass for like the past week and a half, is that the website went to shit. Like, went completely to shit. Like, nothing was showing up right. I couldn't even log into the bitch. I couldn't make any changes to it. Shout out to the homie Brandon over at Where's My 40 Acres. Phenom Black over there, man. That dude went in my shit, and it was like, yo, man, what's wrong with it? And he fixed it. Like, he went in there and, like, fixed the shit. I'm like, goddamn, bro. Now, I know he's into that shit. I forget exactly what his actual occupation is. I believe it has something to do with computers. But check this out, man. He got us back up and running, and I'm very grateful to the homeboy Brandon, because without Brandon right now, you probably wouldn't even be getting the Beer and Chicken right now, because GoDaddy was dragging ass on fixing my shit, and I'm a bit upset with that, because I'm paying money for that. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon. Phenom Black over at Where's My 40 Acres, man. Real talk. Much appreciated. Really appreciative of him going in there doing that work. He didn't have to do that, man, and he did that for your boy, so I really do appreciate him, man. But we're going to get into the show, but of course, before we do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us, because it's been a while. How to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, and we'll respond to them on the show. And if you're watching the show live, you can also chop it up with your boys here live on the show, man. So go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails. And, of course, those emails will get read here live on the show as well. Follow your boys on Twitter and Instagram. Well, Twitter mainly. My name is Mr_Span. The homeboy Cliff is DJ Neff2 on Twitter. And Walt is Walt Lockdown on these Twitter streets, man. Go ahead and follow us. Chop it up with us throughout the week. And you can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews help the show grow. It's your way to put down for us, man. It doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time. Let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. And yeah, man, that's it. So what's been going on with y'all?
Man, once again, if y'all in the shower right now, you woke up to 3 inches and it's still coming down. The streets are bad, the Dan Ryan is horrible. I took my, you know, the brush for the car to take the snow off. I took it out of my car a few weeks ago. And I mean, who'd have thought I'd have needed that shit today, man? I mean, my car is not in the garage because I, you know, when it's warm, I pull the bike out. So the car don't get no love no more.
Right.
Motorcycle takes priority, you know. But man, other than that, y'all, I'm chilling, man. I'm going on vacation to Jamaica for a week. First time out the country. Can't wait.
Dig that. I saw you post his passport. I was like, I'm gonna abuse this motherfucker.
Wait a minute. You ain't
stamp like this. Stamp.
You ain't been on vacation?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying, I follow you on Instagram. I mean, you look like you've been on vacation. I saw the meat that you was grilling and everything. Your boy out there sipping with cigars in his mouth and everything. Oh, this is everyday life for rich people. My mistake. Okay. I thought this was shit that we only did sometime. But, you know.
You knew it was coming, man. It's been 2 weeks.
It's been some weeks. And he was trolling us about, what was that he talking about? Oh, Michigan State getting put out of the tournament.
Oh, I didn't care about Michigan State getting put out of the tournament.
Neither did I, but Cliff never seizes the opportunity to try, though.
I know Stan is a Michigan fan. Yeah. I know he's a Michigan fan.
I didn't give a damn about State getting kicked out. As a matter of fact, I was when they was playing Texas Tech, I was like, I hope Texas Tech beat their ass. Because, you know, the Michigan State fans here are just like the Cubs fans in Chicago, man. They're fucking insufferable, you know what I'm saying? So
I
was like, yo, so long as the motherfucking Texas Tech beat their ass, I'm cool because now I ain't got to hear they shit. You know what I'm saying? that's how I felt about it.
I ain't been up to much of nothing, man. Same old. I'm just been working hard, man. Happy to see the weather changing here. Glad to see we're not getting what Cliff is getting today, and hopefully it don't come here. I don't know if it is or not, but I ain't been up to much of nothing, man. Just trying to get some rest. You know,
man. You can get some rest if you take that shirt off.
You know what this shirt represents? You know what this shirt represents? You ought to be thankful for this shirt, Cliff. And I'm going to tell you why you should be thankful. I'm going to tell you why you should be thankful for this shirt. Because if it wasn't for this, what's on this shirt is what gave Michael Jordan what he needed to get them chips. This shirt represents us putting our foot in the Bulls' ass. You understand what I'm saying? This shirt helped your man MJ grow up. Respect it. Respect it.
He don't believe that shit.
Who side you on, Span?
I definitely ain't on the side of no motherfuckers.
Span has 20.
You ain't got to point that out, Cliff. We see it.
He got 22 pair of Jordans. You think he all?
They gave him what he needed.
He said, you don't believe that shit.
He got Jordans that tie up themselves. Come on, man. You know which side he on.
They don't make those yet, but I'll get them bitches when they come.
Facts.
Yeah, man, you don't believe that shit, though, man. Come on, bro.
I firmly believe it.
Man, the Pistons was a bunch of fucking hacks, nigga. That's all it was back in the 80s and 90s. They was some fucking hacks. And when hacking wasn't working no more, they ain't had shit, and they dissipated that whole goddamn squad.
Niggas started hacking them back, and they got beat up.
No. Like, I remember, like, it'd be funny, like, arguing with Pistons fans in Detroit, because they swear up and down, like, the Bulls didn't beat the Pistons till the Pistons got old, and they be forgetting, like, Isaiah Thomas retired. He was, like, 30. He was 30 fucking years old.
Oh, no, the Pistons were definitely a squad when the Bulls took them out.
Yeah, like
I will never get that excuse.
Like Joe Dumars wasn't still out here balling by the time the Pistons finally got their ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Stop that bullshit.
Right.
Y'all got your ass handed to you in a sweep, and y'all didn't see us for a long goddamn time, nigga. Like, we did 2-3-peats but before y'all got y'all third fucking championship, nigga. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say on that. But
new team, new coach. Go ahead, Span.
Oh, man. It's like I said, man. Your man Span got fucking booted off of Facebook for, you know, engaging with trolls. That's my bad. That kept us off of the air. You know what I'm saying? So it's all my fault. For real. It's all my fault because actually, let me tell y'all what happened. I let this nigga have it, yo. like, you ever like somebody say something stupid to you? And it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you not holding back no more. It was one of them kind of things. I don't even know this nigga, but I was going in on his entire life. You know what I'm saying? And rather than just have anything to say back to me, he just said, fuck it, and reported my ass. And they said, you know what? you know what? You need to take a break. You need to take a break. So I did that, man. I finally got myself a whip. You know what I'm saying? The truck looking real nice, man. It's feeling real nice. You know what I'm saying? I'm a can't go back all star. Once you get heated and cool seats, can't go back, dog.
I know the feeling, my brother.
Can't go back, man.
Can't go back.
Although I do get back every time I hop in the G8. You know what I'm saying? Because ain't no heated or cool nothing in that motherfucker. But
Oh, you didn't trade it in?
No, sir. I still keep. I kept my G8, man. That's my pretty much my everyday vehicle. I'm driving that one most of the week, you know. But
hey, when you own it, man. And keep it.
But that Telluride, man. That yeah, that's my get up and go when I want to be fancy ride right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's when he want to take the wife around town and look good, you know.
Exactly. I can't take my I can't take my wife to Ocean Prime in the G8. It's just not gonna happen, man. I can't.
I respect it. So I respect it.
You know, you gotta have something. And I work hard, man. I work 6 days a week. My body be, you know, lately, you know, my body, I'm out of shape, bro. I be feeling like I'm out of shape. Like, let me tell y'all a quick story from work. Had a guy, one of my apprentices, I had him drilling on the wall, like, so we can put a pipe through the wall or whatever. And he was drilling through the wall for so long, and I'm in the inside of the house breaking down this gas meter. And I'm, why the fuck ain't he through this wall yet? And I go outside, and I'm like, hey, man, like, you good out here? He's like, yeah, yeah, you know, I think my spot's wrong. And I look up, by the time I get back in the house, he'd have made it through the wall, but he's also in the adjoining wall. Like, you know how you got that little corner or whatever? Mm-hmm. So he's in the corner, but there's an electrical conduit right there. He's drilling on the motherfucking electrical conduit. So I run outside real quick, like, hey, stop, motherfucker, stop. And by the time I got there, man, I was like, all right, man, hold on, give me a minute. I ain't had no motherfucking air, dog. I was winded, dude. I ain't
he had no wind at all.
I ain't had no wind, man. I ain't had no wind. But, yeah, man, we, you know, work, man. Work, and work. I was at work yesterday. And I would have been at work today if it hadn't rained. But that's pretty much it, man. So let's get into this shit, man, because it's been a long time since we did this.
Yes, indeed.
Cliff, we're going to let you kick this off with this college basketball shit, man. What's on your mind?
Man. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I don't really follow I don't do college basketball until March Madness, you know. But the game between Virginia and actually I got an article. It says a guy hits three free throws with 0.6 left. Virginia shocks Auburn 63-62. I'm going to give a really quick synopsis of what this article says. Basically, the last 12 seconds of the game, Virginia was down three. They were bringing the ball up court. Now, prior to this three-point shot.
Weren't they down two?
They were down three. They won 63-62. He hit three free throws, bro.
Right. That's why I'm saying, weren't they down two? Because
they were down two.
They were down two. I'm sorry. They were down three. I'm thinking of three in my head. I'm sorry. But before they even went for this shot, man, when they were bringing the ball down court, Auburn was playing full court press. And the, I think his last name is Guy, the freshman guard, who can play. I'm not taking anything away from him. To be a freshman on that stage, man, through the whole tournament, I mean, from the replays and everything that they put together for Virginia, him and the other point guard, man, they're going to the league. I mean, they are really talented. But all that to say, he was bringing the ball up court, and it was full court pressure. He was going down the side, and when he did this spin move, the ball hit his knee, got away. He picked the ball up and dribbled again. It never hit the defender. And the referee was standing right in front of him. All right. It was an extremely clear double dribble. And I was watching the game. And one thing we talk about heavy on the show is how unfortunate officiating has the quality has diminished over years. And to me, that should have been the call that would have made the difference in who won the game. He picked the ball up, dribbled back down court, made a pass, another pass, boom, the guy shoots the three-pointer. And the foul on the three-pointer was super legit. All right. There was a big thing, a hoo-ha about if the foul was a foul. It was a damn foul. But the foul would have never happened if they would have called the other call that should have been called initially. And of course, as we all know, Virginia has moved forward and they've won the national championship. My thing today is this, man. This is the reason why the viewership and how much attention people who are actually really into basketball don't watch it no more. Because it's stuff like this that really determines how much control the referees have on the game. And when they call the most idiot fouls, and I know that's a judgment call, and I always argue there's a difference between a judgment and a rule, right? Judgment is, I feel like you did this. A rule is, if you do this, this is what happens. It's no judgment in that. He clearly double dribbled. It should have been called. They should have never had the opportunity to shoot the three-pointer and move forward with a national championship. When I read this article, and even last week when I read the article, they fail to even mention what happened coming down the court. Coming down the court. Stephen A. Smith, he said something the day of when it happened. And he specifically said, man, that was a double dribble. And this guy was like, well, the ref couldn't see it. Well, at the end of the day, the referee had the most excellent view of this play, man. And it's just sad. And it only justifies why I don't really take the time out of my days and watch big games. You know, big games. And you know, hell, the NCAA, they haven't even come back and said that they messed up. All they talk about is this dude hit three clutch free throws. You know, three clutch. And I'm not taking away. Guess what? That's a lot of pressure. I don't know if y'all can hit three free throws with the game on the line.
I've done it.
Huh?
I've done it.
I've never seen you hit a free throw. But
I don't give a At the end of the day, look.
We didn't have this discussion. We can have one-on-one live on the Bear podcast, and you're going to get embarrassed.
No, I'm not. Trust me. But
remember, you out of shape. Remember that? You see that tummy? You should put a beer on your tummy.
That's all right. Nigga, I can still shoot. It's muscle memory, my nigga. It's muscle memory.
Muscle memory. Well, we're talking about 10-foot rims, not the plastic joints in the bedrooms.
Whatever.
Like the one we did. Okay. But you're muted, Walt.
We can't hear shit you saying, Walt.
It wasn't important. It wasn't important. Keep going.
But no, I was going to ask you guys if you guys watched the game, and on top of that, you know, do you guys feel like the impact on the no call? And I don't even want to call it a no call, because a no call is like, no, that is what it is. It's a no call that, and it has determined the path of this team. And to me, it takes the energy, it takes the whole spirit out of me, man. It really does.
I just want to say this to that. This scenario plays out over and over again. And I think we had this discussion on this show a couple of times about different events that happen when the referee plays a part in the outcome of a game with bad no calls or bad calls in general. it's one of those things, man, where one way or the other, you're going to cry. If the ref make the call, people is all ref, let them play. You shouldn't blow the whistle this late in the game. Boop de boop de boop. Ref don't make the call, all ref, it's a missed call, what is a blatant call? The ref can't win. Cause it all depends on what side of the win, the L and the loss you sitting on. That's how I look at it. If you on the side of the winning team, you don't give a damn about that call. If you're on the side of the losing team, you do. And if it was the other way around, it'd be vice versa. So I guess nope. First of all, it's the college national championship. Nobody's gonna really make any noise about it. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, they put more emphasis on him making the clutch free throws. They're trying to get these boys to the league and all that, man. They're not gonna make no noise about that. College game already looked bad as it is. The NCAA looked bad as it is with all the not paying students, athletes, and all that, man. They already look bad as it is. They don't want no attention on no game. They don't want us people to start talking about games are being thrown and, you know, all that, and people paying refs off and all. They don't want all that talk floating around. So they just ignored it. That's all.
So, couple things. I know we talked a lot about, you know, refereeing and the quality of refereeing and stuff like that throughout the games. And, like, not only just basketball, but in, like, sports like football, too, and shit, right? One of the things that we are taught, if you, like, played any organized sports, one of the things you always kind of taught is, like, don't let the referees decide the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, go out there, put your foot on their fucking neck, go out there and win that ball game. Don't let the referees become the reason why you win or lose that game. They were up in that game by, like, 10 or 12 points. They allowed them motherfuckers to come back in that game. Like, I was out at dinner with my wife, and the game was on there. We were actually able to kind of catch some of it. I remember I was eating, and I looked. I'm like, oh damn, that game's over. They up by like 12. that game's done. And then I looked up again, and they were only down 3. I'm like, oh shit, it's a game now. You know what I'm saying? So, my brother's calling me. He wanted to call me back. But so here's the thing. They allowed that team to come back into that game. First mistake. Second mistake is allowing that to be put into the hands of the refs. And the reason why I say that is this. I agree that they missed a fucking clear double dribble, right? They missed a clear fucking double dribble. I also agree that the foul call, because there was a lot of people on, what was that, Clemson, who felt like that wasn't a foul. Like, initially, they were like, that wasn't a foul. Like, man, if you saw that, that was a clear fucking foul. Like, you can't step into his plane. Like, he can't come down. Like, that's a clear fucking foul. I don't give a fuck what how you put it. He said he didn't touch him. Like, dude, he came down on you. You clearly touched him. It was a fucking foul. Right? He still got to go up there and make those free throws. Right? He still got to make those free throws. If that dude goes up there, makes 2 or makes 1, we're not even having this conversation about whether or not there was a double dribble in the backcourt. If he doesn't make any of those free throws, this conversation about the missed double dribble in the backcourt is not even had, because nobody would care because they still lost the fucking game. This kind of reminds me of during the Fab Five when Michigan lost to North Carolina in the national championship game. Chris Webber traveled, bringing that ball up the court. The referees missed that travel while he was bringing the ball up the court. And you saw the North Carolina bench. They was hopping up and down like, this motherfucker walked. He traveled the whole state. They missed it. But what saved the refs in that moment was Chris Webber called that timeout. So the emphasis on Chris Webber's travel doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot, because ultimately North Carolina was able to win that game because Chris Webber fumbled in the end. The only reason we're talking about this particular double dribble right now is because that dude was able to go up there and knock down 3 free throws to put them up. But it's Clemson's fault for letting those dudes come back from 10 or 12 to even make that even possible.
Auburn, go ahead.
Auburn, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, Span. I agree.
Well, I mean, I hear y'all, and you're right. You know, playing all my life, my coach always said, never allow the ref to determine if you win. And I get that. I'm not even – I hear that, but I'm tired, and this is why I don't watch the NBA. I'm tired of calls like Chris Webber being more frequent and more consistent, to the point where it has taken the enjoyment out the game. I'm sorry. The Chris Webber calls are so often now that it's like, oh, they missed the call. And we just have to accept that. I don't agree.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. And here's the part. Here's the reason why I say that. I don't know if these calls are more and more egregious or if they're happening even more often. I think what's happening is the difference in our ability to see them, the difference in our ability to talk about them. Like before, when, like, say, for instance, when the 1992-93 NCAA Final Four was happening, there was no fucking such thing as YouTube. There was no such thing as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, none of these things. So if you saw it, because also we didn't have like League Pass and all this other shit too, where you saw every fucking game. You saw every, like, we didn't have the access to information that we do right now. So now when we do see these games, we're like, oh, well, you can go on YouTube and like somebody done highlighted or isolated every time James Harden travels the motherfucking ball. Somebody done isolated every time fucking LeBron James travels the ball. We didn't have that same level of social media influence and what would you call it? Not only just influence, but like proliferation. Like it's all over the place.
Exposure.
Yeah, it's exposure. So much now. So like, I don't know if it was. I don't know if we're necessarily seeing if it's happening more. I think we're seeing it more because of the access to the media that we have right now.
I hear that. I'm talking about big games. Listen, we can talk about multiple sports within the last year that we've been doing this sport. And I'm not saying every game you have to watch every sport to see the inconsistencies in officiating. I'm saying when you actually sit down and watch a damn game on Channel 2, it's something that they're forcing you to accept. I get the information and the amount of viewership and the things that you can have access to now. They trumped 15 years ago. Forget it. When we was at TSU, Span, we didn't even have what we have now, right? I get that. But I'm just saying they have gradually put us in the shoes where if the call is missed, that you just have to deal with it. And there is no, there's no consequences on these referees to fix their errors. Okay, so my thing is,
it's always been like that, though, bro. I hear your passion, but what I'm saying is this, though, like it's kind of always been like that. Like it's always been some egregious ass fucking play. Like I can go back to when, like, say for instance, the Sacramento Kings was playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, and there was plenty of times where like Kobe elbowed a motherfucker in the neck that they did not call. You know what I'm saying? And Sacramento should have got the ball. The Lakers ended up winning that series. The Sacramento Kings should have been in that NBA Finals, not the LA Lakers. That's how I feel. That happened back in 2002. You know what I'm saying? We can go back to a whole bunch of egregious shit that was happening in big games. I'm just saying that, like, I believe that, and even to your point of, like, you kind of stop watching a lot of these games. But when you do watch, I almost feel like you almost looking for the fucked up call because
you looking for it. Yep.
Because you harp on this a lot. And I think that I think that sometimes like you, because you don't watch as much as you used to, because you said the officiating has kind of turned you off. When you do see these games, you're like, there that shit go again. And you know, now you riled up and you all up, you know, I'm just saying, bro.
I know for a fact, and I'm not saying that in 1975, 1995, 1985, that there was no egregious calls that were missed. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the most obvious of obviouses have become accepted, consistent across every sport, period. It's like, oh, they missed a call. You know what? That's just what happens nowadays. Back in the day, and I'm saying back in the day when I was young, I can remember the coaches would go to the NBA and say, hey, y'all got to fix this. It's no consequences on the officiating right now. Now it's just like, oh, they missed it. We're sorry. Prime example, the damn NFL with the Saints. The next day, oh, we apologize.
I was going to say, if you're going to pick on all sports when it comes to this topic. Yeah.
I'm saying all sports. And Span, I hear what you're saying, man. All I'm saying is right now that they are seeing that viewership is low. Why? Because people are tired of it. So fix it. Fix it. It just happened a week ago. Fix it. It's not hard. You know what? If the refs can't pick that up, fire them. Guess what, Span? You said that dude was trying to go through a wall and he about to go do some conduit. You keep going through conduit, they going to fire your ass, okay? So guess what? Fire these refs who ain't calling the stuff that's determining who is really going to win the championship. At this point, that's the type of extreme they need to go to.
But again, when we're talking about determining who wins the championship, going back to that whole thing that even started this discussion, they were up 12 in that game. They were up 12. Don't put that in the hands of the referees as a reason as to why you lost that game. And on top of that, if he does not hit those three free throws, we're not even having this discussion.
Hey, Span, guess what? Here's my argument. If he would have missed one of those free throws or tied the game, I'm still talking about it.
I don't know if you are.
I'm still talking about it, Span. I don't know if you are. I'm still talking about it. Listen.
Wait, I take that back. I know you will be talking about it. I know you will be talking about it because this is your shit. Like, if anybody talks about referees, it's your ass.
I'm just about being fair. You know,
I hear you.
It's cool. Here's how fair I am. You know, Walt has a Detroit championship shirt on, has the same colors, you know, and it's fair that he could wear that shirt. It might not fit him well, might be a little loose, or, you know, the collar might be dragging on the left, but it's okay. You can wear the shirt. You know what I'm saying? You my mans. You've been holding that shirt a long time. That mug look new.
No, hold on. So when he posted that shirt on motherfucking Facebook or Instagram or something like that, right? I think it might have been Facebook. And I was like, I got one better. And I found a motherfucking, I found a six championship Bulls t-shirt, bro. Like, see, this is what y'all should be striving for right here. What's going on, LaShondra? As a matter of fact, let me put her up on the screen, man. How you doing, fam?
Hey, I told her she should call in, but she probably on her phone.
She probably
could.
But yeah, that's how, I mean, shit. Officiating, I think niggas been bitching about officiating since officiating has been a thing. Like, you're never gonna be happy with, especially with, you know, with human beings being the ones determining what's right, what's wrong in real time and all that other shit. Like, it's always going to be something about the officiating that somebody's going to be upset about. It's especially when you on the losing end of a real bad call. Like, I mean, I'm a Lions fan. We done got fucked quite a few times on some bad officiating. You know what I'm saying? So, there you go.
Or
what?
Oh, y'all just trash.
Man, shut your punk ass up.
I was in the stadium a couple years ago when the Lions got that 10-second runoff against, who was that? It was in Atlanta or somebody, man. I died, man. I'm shit. Like, when the hell this rule?
Remember, man? The motherfucking, the catch rule. And that shit happened in Soldier Field against the Bears. God. Now we don't know what the fuck a catch is after he done made the catch. And like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
hey, you know what's funny? Even that was Tillman that was sticking him. He was like, I thought it was the catch.
He caught that bitch. He just set the motherfucker down. And he like, you know, touchdown. There you go. They call that shit. Oh, like, ain't this a bitch? So I went something. Like what was that? In the playoffs against the Cowboys. When they had that pass interference. And then they picked up the flag. Like, oh, no infraction. Like, no, nigga, you caught it already. It's too late. Pass interference. But at the same time, the Lions lost that game. It was still 6 minutes left in that game. They had an opportunity to win that bitch. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But we're going to move on to some NBA shit, man, because the NBA regular season is over. Cliff, do you still have the preseason predictions and shit that we had before?
I can go grab it right now. You want to give me 2 seconds?
Yeah, go do that shit because we need
it. Please do.
Don't be please talking do. No shit hey, while man. I'm gone, Walt, hey. Because
you nope, I'm going to wait till you get back right and talk back, your right shit. Back, in your, I'm right going to talk my shit in your face.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the NBA regular season is over. We have like shit, some surprise teams in the NBA playoffs, the Pistons being one of them, because I sure as hell didn't see that happening. We got some surprise teams that are out of the NBA playoffs. We also have some teams that are going through some turmoil that I don't think any of us foresaw at the beginning of the season. And so, for one, we're going to start off with the teams that are in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this up on ESPN. Let's see what teams are, because the playoffs have actually kicked off. Games have already started playing. So, let me pull up the bracket if I can. Where's the fucking bracket, yo? Give me the bracket. I don't want this to, like, okay, they're doing videos now. Come on, ESPN. I just need a bracket. All right. So, we've got the number one seed Milwaukee Bucks playing the number eight seed, the Detroit Pistons. The number two seed Toronto Raptors are playing against the number seven seed, the Orlando Magic. The number three seed Philadelphia 76ers will be playing off against the six seed Brooklyn Nets. And the four seed Boston Celtics will be playing against the 5-seed Indiana Pacers in the East. In the West, we got the number 1-seed Golden State Warriors against the number 8-seed, the Los Angeles Clippers. The number 2-seed Denver Nuggets will be facing off against the 7-seed San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio, I'm going to talk a little bit about them in a minute. The number 3-seed Portland Trail Blazers facing off against the 6-seed Oklahoma City Thunder. And the 4-seed Houston Rockets will be facing off against the 5th-seed Utah Jazz, man. So those are the teams that are in the playoffs. And let me see if I can pull it. Is Cliff back yet? Yeah, Cliff, you're back. So, Cliff, do you have the list of the teams that we said was going to make the playoffs?
Sure do.
All right.
I'm going to start from the top. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference. All right, Span. You had Boston as the 1-seed. Toronto is 2. 76ers, Milwaukee, Washington, Indiana, Cleveland, and Charlotte.
Hold on. Say that again.
You have Boston as a 1-seed.
Okay, so they came in 4th.
Toronto.
As a 2-seed, they came in 2. I had that one dead nuts.
All right. 76ers.
I had that one dead nuts too.
Milwaukee.
And they were the number 1-seed.
Washington.
Oh, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Indiana.
I had them. Is that a 5-seed for Indiana?
6.
I had them 1 off. Okay.
Cleveland.
Oh, they ain't even make it.
And Charlotte.
They ain't making either.
Walt. Toronto is a 1-seed. Boston is a 2-seed. Indiana is 3. Washington 4. Milwaukee 5. 76ers. New York. And your t-shirt.
Yeah, New York ended up being...
I butchered that bracket. I butchered that tree.
Man, New York ended up being the worst fucking team in the East
this season. The league.
Yeah, that's right. In the league. My bad. I was giving you a little bit of props. But nah, that's right. They was the worst.
No, Chicago was the worst in the league, wasn't they?
No, they were not.
Oh, okay.
Try again, asshole.
No, I was asking, literally. I wasn't trying to throw.
Yeah. Who you have, Cliff?
Y'all so sensitive, man.
Mm-hmm. I had 76ers as 1, Boston 2, Cleveland 3, Washington 4, Toronto 5, Milwaukee 6. New York and Chicago.
So I had to. So check this out. All of us had fucking Washington in the playoffs this year. Every last one of us had Washington had the what are they? Shit, the Wizards in there. They ain't make it. So I just thought that was interesting. All of us had them in there. Now for the Western Conference, who you got? Or who do we have?
Span, you had the Warriors as 1, Houston 2.
Damn, they came in 4th.
Utah 3, Portland 4.
Portland was 3rd.
L.A.
Which L.A.?
Lakers.
Oh, they didn't make it.
OKC.
Okay.
The Spurs.
Uh-huh.
New Orleans.
Oh, so I'm 5 out of 7. I mean, 6 out of 8.
Okay. Walt, you had the Warriors. Houston, Utah, you had the exact same thing.
He had the exact same thing?
Warriors, Houston, Utah, Portland, OKC, Spurs, Pelicans.
I'll be damned.
I think you were just copying off of Span. All right.
I'm not even going to respond to that.
Monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yo, I gotta say this real quick. So I was watching some on YouTube, and I saw where you got the Wing It clip from, the whole thing. Yo, that is funny.
Yes, sir.
But whatever. For me, I had Warriors as 1, Minnesota as 2.
They didn't make it.
Houston is 3.
Okay.
New Orleans is 4. They Portland is 5. OKC, the Spurs,
yeah,
and the Lakers.
All right.
So all right.
I did pretty good on that Western Conference bracket, man. As far as the amount of teams that actually made the playoffs that didn't.
I got some other ones. So we all decided to pick a disappointment. Okay. My disappointment was the Lakers.
Oh, were they disappointing this year?
Walt, your disappointment was Houston.
Well, we consider Houston a disappointment. Okay, so here's the thing. When we say disappointment, what was your expectations of the Houston Rockets, Walt? And did they meet those or did they not? Walt?
We can't hear you.
I think my expectations of them, I can't remember at the time what my head was, but I think my expectations of them were to be, but what did I have them, second seed?
Who?
Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be right up there. I thought they were just going to be the same thing we thought for the Eastern Conference, kind of. You know, Washington has been like sort of a middle of the pack team, a low seed in the Eastern Conference. You know what I'm saying? For a while, they've been there, so we just kind of penciled them in. I thought Houston was going to come back the same way they were the year before, when, you know, and be one of the top seeds. They slipped. They just slipped a little bit, but they still in there. I mean, I wouldn't call them a disappointment. At least they made it.
No, you called them a disappointment before. So we're trying to figure out what I'm trying to figure out is, if you feel like they were going to pretty much be where they were last year, why then would you say that that team would be a disappointment? What would disappoint you about that team if they didn't meet that expectation, or if they slipped a little bit and got below that? Like, how do you determine?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, at the time, I would say that was I would have thought that was a disappointment, but I don't think it's a disappointment now.
Okay. So who did I have as a disappointment?
Minnesota.
Ah, yeah. Well, they did kind of disappoint. I had much higher expectations of them when they had Jimmy Butler, and that shit went to shit. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think I was pretty on that one.
So was I, because I had L.A.
Yeah.
Then we had the biggest surprise. My biggest surprise was opposite of yours, fan, which was Minnesota. Well, I ain't surprised now.
I think Derrick Rose surprised a lot of people with his play a little bit in Minnesota this year.
Walt, your biggest surprise was your T-shirt that is still colored and it has Detroit Pistons on it.
Why can't you just be respectful? Why can't you just say your surprise was the Pistons? Why you got to go through all of your T-shirt and all of that? It's the hate. It's the hate because the Bulls is at home. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm not a Bulls fan, so it doesn't affect me.
And like I said, they're going to be home this week anyway, so I don't know why you're bitching about it. Why are you trying to make such a big deal of this shit? They ass going to be home just a week later, nigga. It's all right.
That's all right. Today, they playing. Today.
And Span, your biggest surprise was Miles Bridges.
I don't know what the fuck I was thinking about on that one. Mm. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking about on that one. Maybe that he would be a huge disappointment. Now, everybody thought he was going to be good. And then, I don't know. I'm trying to salvage that one. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking about on that one.
Oh, check this out. So then we went to individual accolades.
Uh-huh.
Rookie of the year, I had Mo Bamba. That's definitely a negative.
I know I whiffed on this one.
My MVP was Westbrook. Sixth man of the year, Jamal Crawford. Defensive player of the year, AD. Coach of the year, Tibbs. And most improved, Embiid. He ain't getting that. Walt, you had Curry as your MVP. Rookie was Dante. Defensive player of the year, KD. And you didn't give me player.
He had KD as the defensive player of the year?
Really? Yeah, because remember KD was going on his little rant like he wanted to be defensive player of the year?
Really?
And I said he can do it. I think he could do it.
Okay.
Well, you didn't give us anything for sixth man or coach of the year, but you have most improved. Ball.
Damn, and I laughed at you with the Miles, what's his face, man? I can't, man.
Hey, man. Sometimes the shit don't shake out how you think it's gonna shake out. That's all that means.
Lonzo, what's up, baby? Big baller brand, what's up, baby? Oh,
well, you see, he just separated himself from that.
I've been trying to tell you. That's gonna be my wing. I ain't gonna hold y'all up. I'm winging it on that shit.
Okay. Your rookie of the year was Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, I was on some bullshit with that one.
Well, you on some bullshit on here for real. MVP was LeBron. Hey, your sixth minute.
You can't, shit. You know, LeBron.
Yeah, Lou, yeah.
You know, any year he can get it. You know what I'm saying? That was playing it safe. I wasn't playing it safe enough.
Unfortunately, you got, as your sixth man, you got Ball.
Hey, man, I couldn't foresee the injuries that the nigga was going to have. You know what I'm saying?
He could have been healthy. He's still whack.
Whatever.
Defensive player of the year, AD. Coach, Brad Stevens. And most improved, Chris Dunn. So, that was everything.
Man, I was so off on those awards.
Yeah, we was like, all off on a lot.
Man, like, I mean, I didn't see what's my man in Dallas right now?
Luka.
I didn't see Luka like balling out the way that he did. Luka is probably like,
yeah, Luka Doncic did his thing.
The fucking rookie of the year this year, and Giannis played out of his fucking mind this year. But also, Paul George played out of his mind this year too. So like, those were some of the things that I did not necessarily foresee at the beginning of the season, for real.
Even though they balled out, guess what? They still ain't gonna get it because they giving it to that whack dude Detroit. But go ahead.
What whack dude in Detroit?
I mean, in Houston.
See, he got Detroit on his mind. He can't even help it.
You talking about Harden?
I just saw your shirt.
Harden? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's like set in stone that Harden is going to get it because of the fact that, for one, Giannis is playing on the team that has the best record in all of the NBA. He's the best player on that squad. When was the last time that you could say the Milwaukee Bucks had the best fucking record in the NBA? It's been a long goddamn time, man. And Giannis pretty much gets it whenever, like, all over the floor. You know what I'm saying? I think Giannis has a really good opportunity this year to be the MVP. If I had a vote, which we don't, we ain't got no press credentials. But if I had a vote, yeah, Giannis would be my MVP, no doubt.
I give it to him too.
I don't know if it's concrete that Harden's going to get it. I think he got it last year. And I think really the reason they gave it to him last year is because, okay, they gave it to Russ the year before. Russ was averaging that triple-double. And then they were like, well, okay, but, you know, James Harden been balling. He deserves it. But then you look at the fact that the Houston Rockets has kind of slipped in the Western Conference. Like, they have 4 seed right now. They allowed the Portland Trailblazers to surpass them in the Western Conference. They're not even the top three. They're not even in the top three in their conference right now. And so, yeah, I think Giannis, dude, I think he got it.
We'll see. But what's next?
So we had, did we have any playoff predictions with our picks?
I don't think we did predictions.
We didn't do any playoff predictions?
Y'all want to do it now?
We should. We should be doing playoff predictions. So, in the Eastern Conference, because I got the brackets kind of pulled up now on, before we get to that, fuck that. We got to talk about what happened with the goddamn Lakers, man. Before we get to any of that shit. So, Magic Johnson decided that he was going to walk away from the damn team. Didn't tell nobody till he was ready to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know what? Hey, y'all having a press conference? Hey, I got something to say. Hey, come holler at your boy real quick. And he went to this press conference and announced that he would be leaving the goddamn Los Angeles Lakers effective fucking immediately. So check this out. Let me see if I can pull this. I know I got the video. So let me pull this video up. Let's do it. This right here. All right. There we go. So check this out, y'all. This is Magic Johnson talking that shit about leaving the LA Lakers. Check this out, y'all.
Here, thinking about that incredible interview that you had. And then also I've been thinking about the great meetings I had with Jeannie the last couple of days. And, you know, I love her as a sister. And so today I'm going to step down as president. And I think I don't want to, her and I have such an amazing relationship. And I think that she gave me full power to do what I wanted to do. But I think that with her and I want to always preserve our relationship and love her. And then I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody. You know, I thought about Dwayne Wade retiring tomorrow and I can't even tweet it out or can't be there. Serena Williams called me a week ago and said, will you mentor me and be on my advisory board? And I said, yeah, I'm gonna do that. You know, and so when Ben Simmons called, and we went through the proper channels and they made me look like the bad guy out of that situation, but I didn't do anything wrong, but do everything right. I was thinking about all those times, all guys who want me to mentor them or be a part of their lives, and I can't even do that. I had more fun on the other side than on this side, because now, tomorrow, I would have to affect somebody's life, livelihood in their life. And I thought about that, I said, that's not fun for me. That's not who I am. And then I don't want to put her in the middle of us, you know, even though she said, hey, you do what you want to do. I know she has great love for him and great love for me, you know. And so I want to go back having fun. I want to go back being who I was before taking on this job. And, you know, we're halfway there with LeBron coming. I think this summer with that other star coming in, whoever's going to bring him in, I think this team is going to be in a position to really contend for championship with the growth of the young players.
All right, so did any of y'all see this coming? With Magic saying, fuck that, I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
My answer to that question is no, but not a surprise. Sorry. Not a surprise.
I was surprised as shit. I didn't see it coming. One, because I felt like with Magic being there in the position of being president of basketball operations, I thought that him being there was one of the things that could help recruit a lot of these players. Like, Magic talks now about how he's, you know, a lot of these players come to him for mentorship. They come to him with, like, you know, questions about the game and, you know, the things around it. And one of the things that I thought was would make the Lakers even more attractive to potential free agents was the fact that, like, they would have Magic Johnson to kind of go to talk to about those very same things. Like, he's saying, like, yo, I can't do what I really like to do because, you know, I got all these guys that want to, you know, they want to get in touch with me. They want to, you know, they want me to mentor them and everything else. And I'm thinking, you know, if you want me to do all that, you know, it's all cool if you come to the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? I could hook that up. And so I just kind of felt like, yo, they were able to get LeBron over there. You got LeBron over there. And then you got Magic Johnson, who is an NBA legend, who can also be that mentor to the guys who are coming in. I just kind of felt like, although he wasn't the general manager, but when it came to attracting stars to that Los Angeles Lakers team, that having Magic Johnson in that particular position helped them tremendously. And so now I'm looking at a situation where Magic Johnson, he gets in front of a news conference and he talks about, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and step down. You know, I love Jeannie like a sister and everything, but, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and step down. I'm like, yo, he didn't even call her first. Like, she found out the same way everybody else found out. Like, yo, man, I can't get a phone call, nigga. It's like when you put some shit up on Facebook and it involves, like, say, for instance, if I put something up on Facebook, Cliff, and it involves something between me and you, but you ain't no shit about it yet. You're like, damn, Span, you couldn't call a nigga first, like, before you put that out? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. And so, like I said, I was shocked to find out that Magic, if anybody was going to be leaving, I'm shocked that it's Magic that's the one that's leaving, not Rob Pelinka. Although Luke Walton was the guy who was referring to where he said, I was going to have to affect somebody's life. They were going to be out of a job. Luke got a job like not even 24 hours after leaving the fucking Lakers, which I find is like kind of funny. But he was talking about the job not being fun for him and not being able to kind of be out with the fellas and everything else. I just thought that was kind of interesting with that. And I felt like for me, I was just like, yo, I did not see that coming, not by a long shot.
Listen,
I didn't see it coming either. But you touched on Rob Pelinka not being gone and him not calling Jeannie, none of this, man. But I think through some of the reports or whatever that I heard later on, I can't even give you specific sources because I heard them from multiple sources, like talk shows or whatever, sports shows or whatever. I think what was going on was Pelinka was the reason and Jeannie was the reason Magic stepped down. Pelinka was talking behind his back and Jeannie was kind of cutting him short. I guess Magic did want Pelinka gone along with Luke. And he was supposed to have the power to get rid of Pelinka and get rid of Luke. But every time he tried to make that decision, Jeannie cut his legs out from under him. You understand? So he was in a spot where it's like, okay, well, damn, you tell me I got all this power, but then when I go to make a move, you won't let me do my job. So when everything started going left, y'all gonna blame me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, y'all set me up for failure. And from what I've been hearing, you know, Pelinka was going behind his back and basically talking smack about him not being there, not being at the practices sometime or whatever, and this and that. So maybe he felt like he couldn't call them, you know, or call Jeannie. And maybe he felt like the only way he could do it was just to put it out there and just say, to hell with it. You know what I mean?
I got a really short, short, short response. Stephen A. Smith said one thing. Magic Johnson has 7 businesses. He ain't got no time to be mentoring players and trying to be in there talking about who they should trade and keep and all this other stuff. He ain't got time for that, man. He ain't got time for that. He got brought in position for influence, which is fine. I'm with that. Hey, Magic Johnson is head of basketball operations. We got LeBron. You got a Hall of Famer, soon to be Hall of Famer. Come on to the Lakers. Magic got, he ain't got time for little stuff, bro. He gonna be a Laker and a staple in the Staples Center, no pun. But he gonna be a part of the Lakers organization if he wants to or not. His involvement at the level that they need him, he doesn't have the ability. All that other going through the weeds, talking about everything else is irrelevant. He does not have the capacity to do the job in the way that he wants to do it, and it needs to be done. And that's why he was really talking about he doesn't want to destroy his relationship with the bus girl because he really can't do what he needs to do.
He can't do his job.
Right. So what is it, a surprise? It was a surprise, but at the end of the day, it's like, yo, he is stretched thin.
I think about it like this, though. So you always have, like, there's this – there's like these hierarchies that these teams have, these structures that these teams have in the front office where, yeah, you'll have a president of basketball operations, but the general manager is the one that's responsible for the day-to-day operations of that team. If there's a major decision that needs to be made, then he pushes that up to the chain to the vice president or the president of basketball operations or whatever else, right? So Rob Pelinka, being the general manager, he's supposed to be responsible for the day-to-day operations of that team, whether that be facilitating trades, whether that be hiring and firing coaches, whether that be, you know, picking up anybody off of waivers, free agents, all of this other shit, right? He's supposed to be deeply entrenched in that, having that information, and then he pumps that up. If Magic wants to get involved, then yeah, okay, so this is what we're thinking about doing. How do you feel about that? And much, I kind of look at like the president of basketball operations almost like a consulting kind of position, because the general manager is the one who usually is the one responsible for most of those things that are happening when it comes to roster changes, when it comes to personnel changes and everything else. That general manager is the one who's doing the grunt work, the legwork, and everything else. When it comes to
the president is there to check the general manager.
The president is there like, okay, I put my stamp on that. You doing what you're supposed to do, but I put my stamp on that because ultimately the responsibility is kind of like at my feet, so to speak. Like, as far as it doesn't happen unless I say yes or no. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen unless I say yes or no. You can do all this legwork, but unless I say yes or no, it doesn't happen. And I think that when it comes to whether or not Magic Johnson was able to fire Rob Pelinka. I think there was, I mean, there's the connection with Kobe too. Like Rob
Pelinka, that's why he wasn't.
Rob Pelinka is Kobe's guy.
Kobe, that's where the beef came from.
Okay, but if I would, see, this is where it starts getting messy, right? This is where it starts getting messy with the Lakers because it's like, okay, who's a bigger influence on Laker lore, Kobe
or Magic?
Or Magic Johnson? And truth be told, if we're gonna keep it a buck, Magic Johnson, when it comes to basketball outside of his playing career, hasn't exactly been the greatest when it comes to color commentating. Wasn't that good. When it comes to he coached the Lakers at one point back in the 90s. I think he quit after about a 10-game losing streak. Wasn't that good. He had a talk show at one point. Wasn't that good. Like, but when it comes to basketball, outside of playing the game, Magic has shown himself to be a pretty mediocre, a mediocre sort of executive basketball-wise, coaching-wise, pretty mediocre when it comes to that. The reason why I'm shocked at Magic's leaving isn't because of his ability, it's because of his influence. And I think the reason why he was hired was because of his influence. And I go back to the, you know, these guys want to, he alluded to it in his press conference. These guys want to be around me. They got questions about, you know, how they should play the game, this, that, and the other. Even if it came to, like, LeBron James coming to L.A., we know that LeBron James has aspirations to be a businessman out after the game. Like, he wants to do that. He wants to expand his empire outside of the game. Magic Johnson has been one of those players who, outside of the game, has amassed a huge fortune and a huge business portfolio outside of the game. His business acumen is good. And I think a lot of players, if they wanted to be mentored by someone like that, the draw to come into the Lakers was a good one with Magic Johnson being there and being, you know, I can go to Magic. He's there. He's part of the organization. That's somebody I can connect with. And I think the fact that he felt like he couldn't do that in his capacity, where he was like, yo, I want to do this for all the players. I don't want to just do this for the Lakers, though. That's the shit that shocked me. That, like, he wouldn't leverage that influence for the Lakers, but that he just said, fuck it, I just want to kind of be out and, like, you know, I'm getting in trouble for, like, even having conversation with guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, he alluded to the whole Ben Simmons thing. Like, you know, they tried to make me out like I was the bad guy when we did everything above board. It just, again, man, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting that guy to just kind of walk away from that gig.
I'm shocked that Rob Pelinka wasn't, like you said, like if what it all boils down to is Jeannie Buss. And Jeannie, I guess Magic probably felt like Jeannie was going to, whatever the case may be, Jeannie was going to side with Pelinka. That, you know, that's Kobe's man, that's Kobe's guy, whatever. And so I'm surprised at that.
And see, here's the other part about that, too. And that's why I was saying it's kind of messy.
Because Pelinka got a lot of enemies in the league.
He got a lot of enemies in the league. There's a whole lot of, I was kind of reading up on this. There's a lot of general managers who won't even take Rob Pelinka's phone calls because of their history with him as being an agent.
Fact.
He was an agent before. There was a lot of people who was like, is Rob Pelinka on the phone? They wouldn't even bother with him because of their experiences with him in that way. The other part is, Pelinka's Kobe's guy. But, like, Magic don't have a guy. Magic is Magic.
It's Magic, right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, we don't want to make things bad with Kobe, so therefore we're going to keep Rob Pelinka around. Doesn't really make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me because ultimately, yo, is Kobe going to step in or whatever? What you losing?
That's what I'm saying.
What you losing if you lose a relationship with Kobe Bryant? Like, he's no longer playing for you. You know what I'm saying? He's not contributing in the front office in any meaningful way. What are you losing by losing Rob Pelinka? Although you keep Magic Johnson, and then you know, like again, it goes to who do you think has the biggest influence on Laker Nation, so to speak, whether it's Magic or Kobe. Now, the other part about this that I think is interesting is LeBron James. We talked earlier this year about whether or not the Lakers, because of the way that they've been playing this particular season, whether or not these Lakers years will be LeBron James's Wizards years as Michael Jordan's years where the Wizards were for him, where it was pretty much he can go out there, he can ball, but the team ain't going to really do a whole hell of a lot. Do you think, or do you guys think, that with the mess that the Lakers front office is in right now, that this may turn off players from wanting to come to the Lakers, and whether or not this will prohibit LeBron from having a legitimate chance at winning another championship before he retires?
They've been turned off from the Lakers.
Makes no difference.
Makes no difference?
They've been turned off.
What
other superstar do you know that's breaking down, knocking down doors to get there besides AD?
I mean, you say besides AD, like AD ain't like, hell, you think about it. If they could get AD, they right
you,
back.
But I'm saying that's one guy though. You said other players. So I'm saying AD is one guy. He might want to go, okay, whatever. But they tried to look at all the people they tried to get. They tried to get Paul George. They even tried to get Westbrook to come over there at one time. They tried to get Carmelo to come there. Now Carmelo begging for a job. You know what I'm saying? Like they tried to get a lot of people to come over there. Nobody wanted to go.
All of those guys that you're naming right now, these were guys that they were targeting before they got LeBron James. Like these are all guys they were targeting before they got LeBron.
No, not Paul George.
Yes, Paul George. Paul George was supposed to, when his
contract was up, they was trying to get him.
And the Indiana Pacers traded him before his contract was up so that they wouldn't lose anything. That's how the Pacers ended up with Oladipo.
They weren't still trying to work and get him?
Who?
I'm talking about for trades this year.
No, he re-signed with the Thunder.
He re-signed with him, I know, but I'm saying at one point they was talking about trying to still get him though, right?
He re-signed with the Thunder after playing with the Thunder and with Russell Westbrook. He decided he was going to stay there. He felt like that was a good fit for him to stay there. But
so it was over the summer that they was trying to get Paul George in last summer.
Maybe
before he made the decision to resign with OKC, they were still holding out hope for him. Is what I'm saying.
I'm saying no, because all of these things happened before they signed LeBron James.
Okay.
All of these things had all of the guys that the Lakers were targeting. Like there were you know whispers of Russell Westbrook. There was whispers of. Paul George. The AD stuff was actually kind of relatively new, right? Because AD midseason was like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work for me no more. You know what I'm saying? And so the Lakers ended up, and this kind of contributed to the mess. The Lakers ended up saying, well, fuck it. We'll damn near give away anybody to get AD. And that kind of imploded on the Lakers because now all of the young guys that they had were like, yo, wait, y'all.
They feel some type of way.
Like, this is what it is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it. Although they probably shouldn't have because it's a business and everything else, but that's pretty much like when that midseason trade for AD did not go through, that totally imploded the chemistry of that Lakers team. And so, yeah, man. Like, going forward though, I'm more so concerned about going forward whether or not. And I know Cliff said that it doesn't change it at all. And why do you feel like that, Cliff?
Well, the thing is this. We're talking about the best player in the world, all right? Somebody who's been to the championship, eliminating this year, 8 times in a row, all right? 8 times. I don't care what team he was on in the last 8 years, he went to the championship. AD is an exception to the rule as far as somebody that the Lakers were trying to get because, honestly, name another big player in the league that you want to be on your team right now, right? And he was in the arena where he needed to be traded or he could be traded. And the Lakers, just like any other team in the whole entire National Basketball Association, would give up their entire starting five for AD. All right,
Kevin Durant shitted on him.
Well, that's irrelevant. The bottom line is what does it mean for the Lakers, the fact that Magic Johnson is no longer the head of basketball operations? What does that mean for LeBron James? What does that mean for players' desires that we're talking about coming to the Lakers to play to win a championship? Right now, I'm guaranteeing there are players that are lining up like it's free food and government cheese to play with LeBron James because he can take you to a championship.
I don't think he hold that weight no more, Cliff.
Yeah, come on, man. He been with the
Lakers. You even, like I said, you even heard, you Because you even heard rumors and everybody wondering, is KD gonna leave? Is he gonna go to the Lakers? And KD even got on TV and said himself, like, don't nobody want to play with LeBron, he toxic.
Guess what? Of course KD is gonna say that because he's not and he's never gonna play with LeBron James. He is where he's at and he ain't going nowhere.
I don't see Klay Thompson trying to run over there either.
But I have been hearing rumors of Kyrie trying to get over there.
Facts. And guess what? He had a sit down with the Lakers on Friday. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference if Magic is there or not. LeBron James brings a presence that no other player in the NBA brings.
I agree with that.
And that's an opportunity, all right? Steph Curry, KD, the Warriors, that's a whole team. We're talking about one guy. So Magic not having the influence, like Spam was saying earlier, is irrelevant. LeBron didn't have a Magic at the Heat, he had a great GM. Cleveland, he didn't have nobody, all right? But the bottom line is that LeBron brings opportunity, and right now when you have these veteran players, younger players, seasoned, whatever you want to call it, if they can possibly get on one of the largest franchises in NBA history and to play with LeBron James, they're going. And those younger players who felt a little salty that they were nothing but bait to just be traded for, guess what? That's their learning. That's the learning curve right now. You are not, if you're not LeBron James, you are trade bait. That's it. And if you're not good off the standard team, then sucks for you.
Let me ask you a question. Are the Lakers as currently constructed on paper a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers were when they went to the finals? I'm talking about not the finals they won, the finals they lost.
No, they're not a better team.
No, and they're playing in a tougher conference.
Exactly. They're not a better team, and the Western Conference has been locking it down for the last decade. So, but it's irrelevant. Are they a better team? No.
So that's where
it is. Okay. So what I'm saying is, granted, I'll give you the Western Conference is a better conference. I'm with that. No playoffs at all. Not even the eighth seed. Not even the eighth seed.
The Lakers would have went to the playoffs if they were a fourth seed,
bro.
They were a fourth seed mid-season.
Now take that what you just said, Span. And every other major player. I'm not gonna say every. There might be one or two, but every other major player in the league is looking at that's younger, that's coming up, that's hungry, is looking at it the same way. Bron getting injured now, man. He don't hold the same weight as he did when he first went back to Cleveland or when he was in Miami. He can drag dudes to the finals or whatever. He don't hold that weight no more. I'm trying to tell you, man. The league don't look at him like that.
Hold on. That man has his first major injury of his career this year. It's not as if LeBron James is an injury-prone-ass dude.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is he's not Superman.
Let me finish. The dude he's not an injury-prone dude. I think a lot of people in the league look at what happened with the Lakers this season with LeBron James being injured the way that he was and was like, yeah, I can see why they did not make the playoffs because that dude wasn't right this year. And that's what they take from it. That dude wasn't right this year. I don't think they go forward with, hey, LeBron was injured last year. Maybe it's time like LeBron get injured every year and we don't have a shot anymore. I don't think I don't think dudes are looking at LeBron James that way. I think they're looking at the Lakers overall. Like, yo, who do they got over there besides LeBron? And do we have a chance to win a chip with that particular team as it's constructed? As it's constructed right now, no, they don't have a chance to win a championship.
Not a shot.
Not just with LeBron, and especially not in that conference. Because if that Lakers team was in the Eastern Conference, they would be a motherfucking fourth or fifth seed. And they would go deep in the playoffs. Maybe second round.
They were a fourth seed in the conference they're in.
Yeah. So, again, an injury starts taking its toll on that team. And, then a trade deadline came and went. Shit fell off the motherfucking rails. And, yo, it just looks like a goddamn mess over there with the Lakers. There's a poll up on the website, www.beerandchickenpod.com, man. You can go there and vote in the poll as to whether or not you believe Magic Johnson's leaving will have anything to do with whether or not LeBron James has an opportunity to win another championship. It's about time for us to get the fuck on up out of here. But of course, before we do, y'all know we gotta.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Yo, Walt, what you winging it on tonight, homie?
Tiger Woo. Look at my man Tiger. My man Tiger. Check Tiger out, man. Check Tiger out. Tiger with the green jacket, man. I ain't even no golf fan like that. My man, they said he couldn't do it, man. They said he couldn't do it. What is this? What number is this? How many majors now?
Eight.
This is fifth Masters.
Fifth Masters. It was five. It was fifth. You're right. It's his fifth Masters. Nice comeback, Tiger.
As a matter of fact, to buffer your damn wing it, we got the video from him winning it. Hold on a second.
Let's do it.
Let me pull this up for you, homie. There we go. Bazoom. Wait. Damn it, where'd it go? There you go.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
He got his game back, but he ain't gonna get that hairline back. That boy's it's over for him. Come on home, Tiger. Shave it on off. Baby. That's a comeback story. That's a nice comeback story, man. That's a nice comeback story. Shout out to Tiger. Nike, get that man his deal back.
I don't think they took his
get that man his deal back.
I don't think they took his shit from him. I don't think
they ain't take nothing from him.
I didn't think they ever took it from him. They was the one
they ain't take it from him?
They was the one that stayed.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's up.
What
man.
You got, Cliff? What you winging on tonight, homie?
Yo, this is totally on the other end of the spectrum. Shout out to Roger Goodell.
What the fuck?
Shout out to Roger Goodell for coming out and stating that if any team owner is ever guilty of any affiliation with human trafficking, prostitution, and if a few other elements involved, that they can no longer own an NFL team. The plea that the judge gave to Robert Kraft that they will dismiss all charges if he admits all guilt. They don't want to release the video that shows him in the establishment. Well, it's like 27 or 37 other people that got indicted with this whole with the whole thing with Robert Kraft. And they have all this stuff on video. And they're like, oh, well, you can't make that video public. Well, the other 30 people that aren't billionaires, well, guess what? Their stuff is going to be public. And now Robert Kraft's attorney doesn't want that video to come out. Well, either way right now, it's kind of, what's up with that smirk, bro? You got a smirk, Walt. But right now, either way, it's looking like either he's going to go to trial and they're going to have to show this video and he's going to be guilty, or he's going to have to go with this plea and is still admitting guilt. And it looks like he's going to have to sell the team. All that to say is that, you know what? Just because you're a billionaire don't mean that you get to get away with everything. And man, you know what? I don't know. I'm not going to say nothing now because I know Span is real in politics and I'm down with all that, but this is called what is the word I'm looking for, where certain people get privileges in the world because of their situation. Well, seems like that it seems like that's about to be taken away. And once again, shout out to Robert Kraft. That was his thing. I was like, yo, that's a heavy statement. And the fact that they're moving forward and they're sticking with that, looks like next season things might be a little different for my second team. So that's all I got.
Okay.
No, can you can't respond on my shit. That's what the wings for. That's what it's for.
No,
it's not a response. It's not a response. I want Span to do something. I want Span to do something. Hit the hate button, please. Okay. For Roger Goodell. Hit the hate button for Roger Goodell.
Man, hate.
Hit the hate button for Roger Goodell. Thank you. Now we can move on.
That's illegal. Flag. This is not a no call. I'm calling this.
Oh, shit. So
that's a rule, not a judgment.
So we've been talking a lot about the Lakers on today's show, man. And one of the Lakers in particular I kind of wanted to wing it on. I told y'all I would be winging it on this earlier in the show is LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. Lonzo found out that one of the co-founders of the Big Baller brand was stealing money from him to the tune of $1.5 million. His shit just gone, right? And I remember, man, like I was on that limb, you know, kind of by myself when it comes to the brothers, man. Not present company included, but for a lot of brothers, man, they're like, man, you know, LeVar Ball, man, he involved in his kids' lives, man. Like, you can't be out here down in black fatherhood and all this other Like, man, I've been calling bullshit from day one. This nigga need to fall the fuck back. Let his kid do his damn thing and not try to be all up in the videos, all up in the shit dancing. Fall the fuck back. The people who are really paying attention to this ain't. It was all about LeVar Ball. And then you find out that LeVar Ball is facilitating, or not necessarily facilitating, but he's got some unscrupulous motherfuckers around his kids taking money out of his kids' pockets. You find out that the Lakers are trying to figure out whether or not the Big Baller brand shoes are the reason why LeVar ass ain't healthy, because he rolling his ankles in them cheap motherfuckers that y'all paying $500 a pair for. If you get your shoes at fucking all. So, yeah, man, I kind of don't really want to do it, but I kind of got to do it and say, niggas, I told you so. Y'all might need to listen to your boy Span, man. My shit always right sometime. That's all I'm saying. My shit is always right sometime. But,
hey, that sounds like y'all remember from Anchorman. It works. It works all. It works 60% of the time, all the time.
So yeah, man, it's time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show and respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live here on Facebook, you can call into the show and chop it up with your man's. Right there, right here while we're doing the show live, man. Real talk. Area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you guys here live here as well. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. You can also go to our website. Go to the website and get everything, man. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can go to our store, which has all of our merchandise there. You can go get you some Beer and Chicken Podcast merchandise. Get you a coat. Not a coat. Damn, not a coat. get you a hoodie or like a coffee mug or something like that, man. Really nice quality. I got quite a bit of Span Report and Beer and Chicken Podcast merchandise around the crib, man. You can get yourself some too, and you can go there from our website and get yourself some merch. And you can also listen to the website there, watch replays of the show there, the whole nine. Everything's available at beerandchickenpod.com. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that help us like move up on the ladders as far as iTunes recognition is concerned. It's your way of putting down for the show. It doesn't cost you a dime, man. Just 2 minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're fucking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast Network. Oh, I'm sorry. The Beer and Chicken Podcast on the Span Report Podcast Network. Go ahead. Let us know how you feel about the show, man. 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show. We will give you your shout out here if you leave us those 5-star reviews. And it is time for us to get on up out of here. I got to get ready for my Game of Thrones because that shit comes on tonight. And programming note, we will be doing this show live Sundays at 3 p.m. every Sunday while Game of Thrones is on. Because damn it, we're not doing it. I already sacrificed my Walking Dead shit. I was watching that shit on Wednesdays and come on Sundays. I'm not doing that with Game of Thrones.
But Game of Thrones is better than Walking Dead. But go ahead, though.
Whatever, my nigga. All I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is this. We'll be doing the show live here Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Eastern time live on Facebook. So, yeah, man, that's what it's going to be. And we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace out.
I'm back.